It's in your notes. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The meaning of the word temptation, this word's used 20-some times in the New Testament. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into what? Temptation. It's found in James chapter 1, 2. Count it all joy when you fall into various temptations or trials. So it's used in several different capacities. But it has three different meanings. The first one is test. It can mean test. Ethan's in college. I think we're toward the end of the semester, but he's taking a lot of these. Okay, they're tests. There could be something there. If you look at there, something God has me go through to show me where I am at. Isn't that what a test does? A test really isn't something so much as to pass, but to show that you have come to a certain point. If you haven't, you fail. Okay? There's different grade levels. You know this much, you know this much, you know this much. If they're on a graduated level, A, B, C, D, or F, oftentimes. Okay? But that's what a test does. A test shows you where you are at. Okay? Something God has me go through to show me where I am at, to measure my obedience, and to grow me. Can you give me an example from the Old Testament of a test that someone was required to go through? Okay, Daniel. He prayed, kept praying, right? Okay, Noah had to obey. I'm thinking of one particular. Okay, Christ was tempted. That's a different one. Well, he was tested. I still agree. You'll see that these overlap, all three of them do. I'm thinking of Abraham. That was simply a test, right? What did God tell Abraham? Yeah. The son that he'd waited 100 years for? He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and go and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And by the way, Abraham thought he would be sacrificing him on Mount Moriah. In fact, Hebrews 11 indicates that Abraham believed that since Isaac was the son of promise, God was able to raise him up again, if God took him that far. We know the end of the story, so we don't know the tension, we don't know the pain, we don't know the challenge that Abraham went through. Abraham didn't know that God would say, whoa, 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 before he slew his son. Abraham was going to kill his son because God said so. He was tested. Okay? To show, did God not know where Abraham was? God absolutely knew. Abraham didn't know where Abraham was. Or it showed, you know, his trust in the Lord in that way. The next one here, I'll move this down in oil, is a trial. Have we trials and temptation? We don't sing about tests much. But a trial. Let me move this over here too. Sorry, this is just new technology, so we're getting used to it. It's a little faster than a PowerPoint presentation to prepare. So, a trial, a challenging, burdensome, or difficult circumstance. It's something difficult to go through. Okay, it can be a trial, something. Something that's, by the way, a college exam could be a trial, right? Right. I mean, these can be kind of interchangeable, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's something difficult that you're going through, okay? When you think of a temptation, it could be a test. God is seeing where you're at, kind of not really for his benefit, but for you. If I ever lose my cool, when I lose my cool, I always think, God, there you go. You're just showing me where I'm at again, right? I had a test, and there I failed that one, okay? But that brings you back to okay, there's the exam for the moment, and you didn't do so well on that exam, okay? You failed the exam, okay? But it can also be a trial. It's just something difficult that you have to go through. We'll give you a little bit of an idea here in a minute what those can be. But you could come up with any number, probably thousands of different circumstances that someone could be considered trials, okay? The next one here is what we usually think of. Can everyone see that? A temptation. And that's the word that's used there. It's a temptation, and it's an enticement, a situation where we're enticed to sin, like Jesus and the devil. Okay, the devil, Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted, the Bible says, or to be tested, actually, Luke 4. And the devil tested me after 40 days of fasting. The devil tempted him, but it was a test and a temptation, okay? The devil enticed Jesus to act independently of God the Father, ultimately. You're hungry? If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. What did Jesus do? Man shall not live by bread alone. He quotes out of Deuteronomy 8. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He takes him up to a very high pinnacle and says, cast yourself down. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. Because the Bible says he'll give angels charge over you and not let you get hurt, injured. And he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then he says, took him through a very high place, showed him all the nations of the world, and it says, if you fall down and worship me, bypass the cross, become my servant rather than my master, I'll give you everything. That you can take a shortcut, okay, to your glory again. And what did he say then? Get behind me, Satan, right? For you shall only worship God. The devil enticed Eve. Look at this fruit. Did God say you can't eat his fruit? Oh, he's not a good God. He's just trying to keep stuff from you, okay? Any kind of enticements, okay? 1 John 2 talks about the lust of the eyes, things you could see and want, lust of the flesh, things that you can feel and want because of that, and the pride of life, things that you feel you deserve, okay? So that this is used in three different ways. Now, in your notes here, I have it here. The temptation circumstance that I face can be one of these. It might be just a test, just a trial, just a temptation. It could be two of these or all of these. And I might suggest that they're most likely all of these. Because is not a temptation to sin always a test? In reality, doesn't it show you where you're at? Isn't that also a trial? It can be difficult. Right? A trial can be also, like if you're going through something difficult, are you not often tempted to sin in the midst of a trial? Right? And a trial can be a test. Right? How do you respond when something terrible happens? How do you respond when things, you don't get your way? How do you respond when you don't have enough? How do you respond even when you have too much? Okay. Now, look in your notes here. It says possible tests, trials, and temptations. This is a precursor to probably how I will do this next week. I had a couple different lists. I took one out for sake of time, but also we're going to be into this more next week as we look at the context prior to this passage here. Okay? But here are some. This is not a complete list, but let me help you understand what it means to have this test, this trial, this temptation. Okay? And usually they are all three to some degree or another. Peer pressure is a trial. It's a test. It's a temptation to yield and be like everybody else. Are we not prone to peer pressure? Isn't that not a pressure we face? Isn't that not a trial we face?
It most definitely is. And by the way, that doesn't go away when you turn 18.
I see, even where I work, guys that are 30, 40 years old that are totally driven by their peers. Okay? Physical sickness or pain. If you've not experienced that, to some degree or another, you will. That's just part of life. That's a trial. It's also a test. Can it not also be a temptation? To get angry at God, to get bitter at God? How about personal trouble or tragedy? This, I think, of your neighbor in a car accident. Got almost T-boned. Broke, I don't know how many bones. I don't know if they've counted. Both hips, all the, whatever. That's a personal trouble or tragedy. Losing a loved one, losing a baby, losing a sibling, a parent, losing a job, right? Probably all of us have been in many of those. Maybe just going through, you just have so much weight on you because of the daily demands of life. If you haven't been there, you probably will be there too. At some time or another. Okay? These are trials. These are temptations. These are tests. How about points of obedience that don't make sense? God says, take your son and sacrifice him. Now, I don't think God's ever asked anybody else to do that. Not in that way. I might say, hey, encourage your family to evangelize. That might cost them their lives. How about in that same line, even simple things like giving money to the Lord. Well, we're tight. Anyone here not tight on money? Yeah. How much do you need? Just a little more, right? I mean, it's always been that way ever since I've been alive. And I've made all kinds of different amounts of money, too. And I'm not saying this in any way to pressure anyone to give. Years ago, it's just like, you know what? God said, no, you give me first. That didn't make sense if you're short on money, does it? How about if you're short on time? Anyone here not short on time? I have 160 hours a week. As a kid, it wasn't enough time to play. As an adult, it's not enough time. Jane and I have the conversation. There's just never enough time to get everything done. Have you noticed? So you have to choose what to do, but that's a pressure, that's a challenge. But you do what God wants you to do. He wants you to meditate in the Word day and night, doesn't He? Isn't that what He said? He wants you to pray to Him regularly. He wants you to be reading the Word of God. He wants you to be assembling together with other believers. All those take time from out of other things, right? That doesn't make sense. That's a challenge. That's a trial. How about this? In the last days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3. And there's a whole list of things that sound like the Des Moines Register now. Men shall be lovers of themselves, proud boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, all these things. We live in difficult times. We live in perilous times, and I think they'll get more perilous unless something changes. The antagonism toward those that desire to live godly is greatly increasing in our country. Have you noticed? They won't. I mean, we got to hear Governor Branstad yesterday. He spoke in a couple different district meetings. But he said, well, Lynn, do you recall, was it like a medical board, a state board where you would issue credentials for doctors? And the Senate would not approve his appointment because this doctor simply was affiliated with pro-life concepts.
She's a qualified doctor. I don't know her name. It doesn't matter. That's not my point. But she's perfectly qualified to point it, but they would not approve her because she's pro-life. I mean, just something. I mean, that isn't the whole embodiment of Christianity. That's just the basic principle. And all the way through, people are starting to get starting. You can't mention God in a public square. How different is that from when our nation was founded and God was invoked at every point? Okay? We live in perilous times. These are times of testing, times of trouble or trial, times of temptation. A lot easier to fly under the radar, right? If you can keep people from knowing you're a Christian, ooh, man, life's easier. Right? That's kind of the whole appeal of the book of Hebrews. Hey, like they were going through a lot of trouble. He says, don't cast away your confidence. You haven't suffered the blood yet. Don't bail. Okay? How about persecution? That's getting even farther along. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you too. Right? Isn't that what he said? Yes, and all that live godly shall what? Oh, man, I thought you were going to say easy life. Everything will go well for you, and all the puzzle pieces will come together, and everyone will like you. No, it's just all that desire to live godly shall suffer persecution. We've been kind of largely free from any great persecution in the United States of America. It's changing though now, isn't it? Changing now. And again, I pray that that won't keep going, but we are called on to live godly no matter what. The last one here is called promptings, and this is to encompass the word temptation itself, but promptings of sinful pleasure, dishonest gain, or rebellion against authority. I just combine all those into one. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life kind of stuff. But the idea of being enticed to do what you know God says not to do, or to involve yourself in pleasure that God gave pleasure, yes? Anyone here like the taste of good food? Oh, there's, yes, head shake, bobbing, all, yeah, food, yeah, and I miss breakfast. Oh, man, Pastor, you're making me hungry. But that's good, right? All the trees of the garden you may, what, freely eat. I'm sure it wasn't just bland stuff. It had to be good food. And this was non-cursed food. Probably didn't need any salt on it. You know, just eat it right off the tree kind of thing. God gives you pleasure, but there's parameters of pleasure. Is there parameters of pleasure for eating? Yes, he says, don't be a glutton. Don't be a man given to appetite. Eat to live. Don't live to eat, right? And we live in such a culture that isn't that hard when you have so much. Sexual intimacy, I won't say much about it, but God gave that within the parameters of marriage. That's his plan. Outside, it's adultery or fornication. It's sin. That's sinfulness. Okay? What about anyone here enjoy sleeping? Wake up now. Wake up now. Anyone here enjoy sleeping? Okay, just check in. I think I enjoy sleeping more than I ever have. Now, it's harder to sleep as you get older. Kids, you won't understand that. I remember, you know, fighting my mom, not fighting, but arguing, I don't want to take a nap. And it's like now I'm like, oh, I wish I would have taken that. Wish I could take a nap now, you know. God, sleep is so nice. But you're not to be lazy. You're not to be slothful, right? That's the parameter there. We're not to love sleep. Okay? So that's a pleasure. A lot of people don't think of that as a pleasure. But that's within the scope. And then also the idea of even like rebellion against authority. We've covered authority. I think it was like 3-4 months when we were doing the basic disciplines for believers. I think we've done 6 or 7 now. But we covered like 5 different realms of authority, submitting to authorities. I think we yielded what did we call it? Yielded followership. Thank you, Paula. Because a lot of people think submission, they think, oh, wives and husbands. Like, that's just one of multitudes. Various. Any relationship has submission responsibilities and leadership responsibilities. But rebellion, all authority is from God, Romans 13 says, and there's no authority that exists that is not from God. That says a little bit. That means that even if we do not agree with the President of the United States of America and his policies or whatever, there's still a level of responsibility to him as our leader. Because you know what? He couldn't be there unless God let him be there. You ever think about that? You think that there's a level of responsibility to parents, even, yes, to husbands, but to government officials, even to church leaders? Yes, those are all biblical things. Okay? Well, that we're responsible for. Those are tests, trials, and temptations. Now, I'm going to give you four principles and one promise, all right? Let's go back to the verse. It's up at the top of your notes there. And then I will show you what I have. But it says, principle number one is found here. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Now, this one was actually a little bit more difficult to translate. But here's the principle. Others have faced what I am facing. Others have faced what I am facing. You know what the temptation of this idea is? That we always think we have it worse than everybody else. Anyone here relate to that at all? I mean, yeah, I don't know about you, but I have it just a little worse than you do. I'm just telling you right now. I do. I'm a little busier. I've got a little more response. That's not true, though. We like to say, well, yes, everybody else has this, but I'm over here. I have it just a little worse. And what you're saying doesn't apply to me because I have it just a little worse than anybody has ever had it. I have a little more challenge. I have a little more struggle. I have a little more difficulty. It is harder. That's why I can't pass my test. That's why I'm giving up in the middle of my trial. That's why I'm yielding to temptation. Because I have unique circumstances. And the Bible says, beep, 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 wrong. It actually literally says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is human. It's literally just human. It doesn't, it's, no, guess what? You're in the realm of humanity. Ta-da! You're in the bunch. You're not somebody special in that sense. That doesn't mean that everyone has faced what you have. But many people have. That does not mean that they haven't faced things that you haven't faced either, though. Understand? Oh, you might have this heavy burden. And it's a true, legitimate burden. But they have stuff that you've never had to deal with either. But you all have things, we all have things that are common throughout all of history. I have been blessed. I would say that from a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the hardest life that you could face, I must be about a 1. I haven't had to go through a lot. We've lost some babies through miscarriages. That was a little bit hard. And I'll be honest, they were early enough. It could have been worse. We've had a daughter that's had cancer twice. Once she was given 2 to 4 months to live. I haven't lost anybody really close to me. As far as family members, I've lost a couple of close friends. I even still have my parents. Now, other people have been through a lot. My parents lost their first baby when she was 6 months old. Sandra died at 6 months old. I cannot
fathom that. Some of you have been there. My mom has been through quite a bit, really. She's lost a brother already. She lost her next oldest brother. Jimmy was killed in a car accident when he was 14 in a snowstorm coming back from Sandstone, Minnesota. I can't imagine what it's like to do that. But some people have been in there. But guess what? And I say this too. Sooner or later, my parents are going to pass away. I cannot imagine what that's like. Some of you have been through that. Many of you have been through that. Just different things that I think of. And yet people have lost family through all of history. They've buried their babies. They've buried their siblings. They've buried their parents. My great-great-grandfather buried his first wife when he had three little children in his home. And he lived for 10 years or 9 years without a wife, raising kids and farming up in southern Minnesota. And that was kind of normal. That's kind of human. I mean, we're kind of special in our day, right? We have medical procedures that well, I was asking Crease the other day. Crease is the one that had the cancer, and she's, how far is she along? 6 months along. She's far enough along right now that if something were to happen, her baby could survive. The Hamill twins were 6 months. Years ago, that would have never happened. Yeah, that would have been done. Lily, you never would have met Jana and Lily. Okay? All of these things are there. Okay? But they're common to mankind. Maybe I haven't gone through them, but a lot of people have, and that's just part of the course of history. It's human to go through all this trouble. And you and I, when we do face these things, and we will, you have to remember that you are not here. Other people have gone through the same difficulties that you have, and I would fancy to say that by and large, we all have it much easier than most people in the history have had it. We've never been dominated by another country and been their slaves where they could take our children whenever they want or they could sell us. Come on, life's good, isn't it? But we cannot say we are over here in some unique situation and say what God says doesn't apply to me. I can fail the test. I can give up in my trial. I can yield to temptation. No. Everything that we face is common to mankind. As difficult as it might be, you are part of the whole. And the challenges that everybody else faces are what you face. We're not special in that way. There's no temptation that's overtaking you, but such as is common to humanity. Okay? That, by the way, that's the word con. Yeah, I guess you got it there. Okay, here's the promise. I got to figure out how to work this. Okay. God is faithful, right? And I got a whole list of things here that I'll just read. They could be a sermon in and of themselves. But God is faithful. Let me read it in the New King James. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And then I give a whole list of things that I'm just going to read through rapidly. And again, they could be a whole message in and of themselves. Each one could be a message. But God is faithful to keep his promises. This is in your notes now. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You can hold on to God because God will not let you down. God will never back out in his word. You will never, ever have opportunity to say, God, you lied. God,
you failed me. You will never be able to say that because God will keep his promises.
God also is faithful to enable me to obey. Really? Yes, he helps us. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it.
1 Thessalonians 5:24.
That's our God. He doesn't just say, Kevin, get out there and go at it. No, he helps me to do it. Flip your page over. God is faithful to help me to mature. This is 1 Corinthians 4:1-9. Let me just read the last part of it for sake of time. Who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God will help us to be blameless. He'll grow us. He'll help us to mature. As long as we walk with him, I put that caveat in there. God is faithful to make my suffering count. Suffering? I don't want to suffer. Listen, welcome to Christianity. Christianity is part. Unto him, unto you it is not only given to you to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his name's sake. Philippians 1:28 says that. That's part of our job description. So if we've had it easy, just thank the Lord that we've had it easy. Okay? But he makes every suffering count. Okay? Notice here, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. What? Suffer according to the will of God? Yes. 1 Peter is all about suffering according to the will of God. Okay? Let them who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. You can rest in the fact that if you are doing what God wants and you suffer, God is doing something special. Okay? It's not the idea to see, to run for your lives. It's if you're doing what God wants, then you hang in there. Okay? I just want to deviate to 1 Peter 2 where it talks about talking to the servants or slaves there. He goes, you don't only yield to the good and gentle slaves, but are the masters, but also to the harsh and the forward. And it goes on to say, do not. For what point is it if you suffer when you deserve it? I'm paraphrasing now. But if you do good and suffer, God is well pleased. Okay, and then he goes on to say, Jesus is your example in that. He went to the cross. He didn't deserve it, but he opened not his mouth. He was reviled, but he didn't respond back. Okay, so all that kind of suffering stuff there. God is faithful to forgive my sins as I confess them. Anyone here sinless yet? Just checking. No hands up. All right. If we confess our sins, it's present tense even. If we are confessing our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's that ongoing fellowship we have with the Lord. All right. Isn't that great to have a faithful God? I sin again. I can confess it. God, that is sin. It is, as you say, it is sin. I confess it to you. I say the same thing about my sin. And he says, I forgive you. He's faithful to do that. How about this? God is faithful to ground me and to guard me. But the Lord is faithful who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Isn't that great to have a God who will establish you? He will ground you. And he will guard you. And again, I believe these are all contingent on you being, if you will, walking with God. Maybe obedience, too strong of a word even. But I'm saying you're hanging in there with God. God will take care of you. He'll ground you. He'll help you to see things as he sees them. He'll help you to be protected from the devil. If you ignore God, neither are true, right? You can't grow if you're not at the table, so to speak. And then here's another one. God is faithful to remain faithful to himself. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. God will never fail himself, even. He is that immovable. Now further, I want to give you three quick principles here at the end. We've already talked about the principle others have faced what I am facing. I'm not special in that sense. Others have been through the difficulties I'm going through, the tests,
the trials, the temptations. Principle number two. You ready for this? If you don't get anything else, this is probably one to hold on to here. God will not allow more than I can handle. Did you know that? God is faithful. And these are one of the things He's faithful. He will never, ever give you more than you can handle. It says here, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Is that what your Bible says? What does that remind you of? It reminds me of Job in the Old Testament. What happened? What had to happen for Job to be tried, to be tested, to be tempted? The devil had to get permission. You remember that? And by the way, God let him go through some terrible trials. He lost all that he owned. He lost his 10 children. And his wife basically said, just curse God and die. Get it over with. God said, you can do whatever you want to him. Just do not touch. And he was unhealthy too. He had boils all over him. That was the other thing. And he said, just don't kill him. You can do anything but kill him. And he did. He got rid of everything. The devil did everything. But he had to get permission from God. In fact, God gave him a recommendation. Have you considered my servant Job? Right? God will not allow more than I can handle. God will not allow me to be faced with any test, trial, or temptation beyond, I should say, my ability to pass the test, pass through the trial, or pass by the temptation. You will not have more than you can handle. God says that. He's faithful. He will not allow you. He's that big of a God that he will not allow you to face anything that you cannot handle. That's principle number two. Principle number three is God will always make a way out or through. God will always make a way out or through. All right? That's what he says here. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Really? Any test, any trial, any temptation, there's a way out or a way through. Okay? Let me read my little paragraph here. God will always provide with every test, every trial, every temptation, a way through or a way out. Both are important. This does not mean missing difficulty necessarily, okay? It means that God has always provided a way for me to obey, stand strong, or refuse as required by His Word. It may mean and often has strength to die without compromise. Okay? God will always make a way out or through. Now we'll hit that one more way here in principle number four. God will help me out of or through each temptation. Okay? God will help me out of or through each temptation. It says that you may be able to bear it. Literally, it says this, that you may be able to endure or submit. Really? Yeah. Making it, you might need to get out of it, like in a temptation. Remember, Potiphar's wife kept trying to entice Joseph. Potiphar's married. Joseph isn't married to Potiphar's wife. What did he do? There was a way out. He ran. She grabbed his clothes. He left without his clothes. You know, a robe or whatever it would be. Whether ripped off him or whatever, but he took off. And it cost him jail. It could have cost him his life. That was a way out. He was in jail for 2 years or more. God didn't let him out the next day, come to the jail. Hey, you're free now. Da-da-da. No, he had to go through that trial, didn't he? Huh? He did. And by the way, it was a test because guess what? Hey, sorry, I forgot about you, but you remember you told me about that my dream and it came true? Pharaoh wants to talk to you. He tells Pharaoh the dream, and oh, by the way, 7 years, a good year, seven bad years, and you need someone to really manage all this so that we survive. Like, great idea. You be that man. You be my second in command. Right? By the way, Joseph didn't know any of that. He didn't know the end of the story. The skit that we did of Sandals and Scandals, Ethan was Joseph. And the last phrase that we wrote in there was, maybe God will... His conscience was clear before he was God. And he said, maybe God will use me in some small way here in the prison. I mean, that was Joseph's true attitude. I'll just be where God wants me to be and do the best. Remember the jailkeeper turned it over to Joseph because he was that faithful, right? God, by always providing for me a way out or through each test. Sometimes he takes us through the test, through the trial. Sometimes he gets us out of it. God will always give me the ability to obey his words too. And we've already put these in your notes, but I put them there so you can write them again. Whoops, let me try this one more time here. God will give you the ability. It says that you may be able to endure, to submit, to make it through or out of it, to pass the test. God, listen, let's go back to here. When we say we're over here and we're special and we have unique circumstances that no one else is facing, we're basically saying God can't do anything about it. And he's telling you, no, you're with everybody else, but guess what? God will not give you anything you can't handle. He promises that. He is faithful. He will not give you more than he can handle. He will always make a way out or through. You can walk with God in the most difficult of times. Without giving up on God, without failing the test, without giving up, or without giving in, okay, to temptation. You can pass the test. You can pass through the trial. It might be, I think, Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, for 30 days, you can't pray to anyone but the king. Oh, really? Okay. I'm going to go back and pray 5 times a day, just like I did. So be it. That's what I need to do. Hope. King, have you seen Daniel prayed? Oh, no, Daniel's my friend. Throw him in the lion's den. That's the law. You signed it. You can't turn back now. Law of the Medes and the Persians has got to go through. They throw him in the lion's den. Okay. Good night. After a good night's sleep, they let him out. You know, God shut the lions, but he could have been eaten. Others have been. Okay. God doesn't necessarily... Sometimes the way out is just to help you to be faithful through death. People burned at the stake, drowned. Hebrews 11 talks about people sawn asunder, sawn in half. That is what tradition says Isaiah was. That's how he was killed. I can't think of a worse way to die. And yet he was faithful to the end. Okay? And sometimes it's just standing up and saying, yes, indeed, I am a Christian, and you can make fun of me if you want. But you can pass the test. God will give you the ability to pass the test, pass through the trial, as opposed to getting you out of it. We've talked about it before. Sometimes we pray, God, get me out of this. And God goes, why? I put you in it. I let you be Pharaoh's servant. I let you be in that jail for a reason you don't know yet. And finally, 20 years later, Joseph says, hey, understand that you meant it for evil, but what? God meant it for good. You can trust that what God allows you to go through, he knows what he's doing. Right? and pass by the temptation. You do not have to yield to temptation, no matter what your circumstances are, because you are part of this, and God will not give you a test that you cannot pass. He will not give you a trial that you cannot go through, and He will not give you a temptation that you cannot, pass by. So when you start having a rough day, a rough circumstance, a rough challenge, you might say to yourself, wow, God's really trying to grow me because this is harder than I thought. But I'm confident because God promised that He will not give me more than I can handle. So I can do this with God's help, right? He said He would. He'll be there with me and He will not give me more than I can handle. So it's a done deal. I just have to obey and walk with God in this. I don't have to give up. I don't have to give out. I don't have to give in. Right? I can walk with God. So, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested, tried, tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Rest in our faithful God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great verse for us. Lord, we need this because we are weak. We are troubled. We are oftentimes putting ourselves in that one person world to say we're different than everybody else. So therefore, we can fail the test. We can give up in the trials. We can give in temptation. But Lord, You say that You will be with us. You will govern everything that comes our way. And You will not give us anything more than we can handle. Lord, You didn't say it wouldn't be hard. You didn't say it wouldn't take us right up to the point where we can handle it. But You say You won't give us anything more than we can handle. Lord, help us to pass the test. Lord, help us to pass through the trials. Help us to pass by the temptations. By Your grace, understanding that You have already done this for us. You are our faithful God. And we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.